Your Bibles, please, to Job 38. Job 38, Job being the oldest written book in the Bible. It's not the first book in the Bible, but it was the first penned as we understand it, and it refers and deals a lot with things that God shows or reveals to him that we don't see in some other places in the Scripture. But we're looking today, thinking rightly about music. And today we're looking at the origin and purpose of music. Let me just say, if you were not here last Sunday night, I would encourage you to go on YouTube, look up last Sunday night's message. Brother Schrock did a really good job of presenting music, and he knows a lot more of the details and technicalities of all of it, and a lot of the history and all of those kind of things, and puts it into a PowerPoint type of display, or keynote, I guess I should say. Yeah, we want to get this straight. I'm just going to preach a message today from the Bible about the origin and purpose of music. He's going to continue tonight on music, and then I'll preach one more message next week on the corruption of music. So we get it from the right perspective first, and then we'll see what the devil and the world has done with it. So Job 38, verses 4 through 7, where wast thou? And again, God speaking or giving the idea of, okay, Job, where were you? Where wast thou when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest, or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. God here dealing with creation of the earth, and in dealing with creation of the earth, he's got the morning stars up in heaven singing and giving glory to God as he lays the foundation of the earth and builds the earth and creates the earth and creates everything in the earth. They're there in heaven and giving glory to him. He is God. And in looking at the origin and purpose of music, it's created by God, for God, about God. Now, anything good can be corrupted by Satan, right? God created Adam and Eve, and God created marriage. What does man do with it? They take and corrupt it. Just about everything that God creates that's good and right and godly, Satan has an agenda to corrupt that and take the thought off of God and put it on him, or take it off of God and put it on us, or whatever it may be. And so when we look at these issues, look, do we want to have the mind of God on our lives? On how we live and how we operate and what we do for him. It's not just about us coming to God and say, God, I'm going to serve you my way. That's religion. We want to come to God and say, God, what do you want? And so we look to the Word of God concerning music. We won't obviously get all of it in today. He didn't get all of it in last Sunday night. He won't finish getting all of it in this Sunday night, but we're going to do four messages just really trying to solidify this matter of music as far as the church is concerned, within the church body, and understanding what it ought to be. So let's pray. Father, I ask you would help us, God, as we look today at having our mind right about music and the origin and purpose of music, the direction of music. And Father, I pray that we would understand that it's about you. And God, that the entirety of our lives should be about you. And therefore, if our lives are about you, it should come forth in our music, in the music we listen to, in the music that we sing. And God, I pray that we would be right in this. And God, that we would choose and desire to honor and glorify you with our music, both in the church, in our homes, in our cars, God, in everywhere that we have music, God, help it to be about you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So the origin of music, we see here, there's a group in heaven called the morning stars sang together. And they're up there singing to God, about God, for God, at the creation of the world, looking at the majesty and everything that God has created. We notice in Isaiah 12:14, you don't have to turn there, but it says, it asks this question, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nation?" So it refers to Lucifer, who we know as the devil, as son of the morning. I don't think it's coincidence that the morning, the word morning is used there, and the word morning stars is used over there. I believe if we go to Ezekiel 28, we'll see that Satan was created with at least some level of music built into his very being. Ezekiel 28, verse 13 through 15, the Bible says, "Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God." And again, this is God talking about Satan. "Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardius, topaz, diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes were prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee." And so as he talks about the creation of Satan, and he wasn't Satan at the time, he was Lucifer. He was created as a perfect angelic or cherubim being, and he was an angel that covereth. Now, I believe that to mean that he had, in the presence of the glory of God, he had to cover his face, just like the Bible tells us about the seraphims and about other cherubims in the Bible. But Satan is there. He's created perfectly. And there's a couple of musical instruments that it basically gives the idea that they're built right into him. And it's quite possible that he was even a leader of music in heaven. Now, we can't dogmatically say that, but there's no doubt he was involved with that because of the language of the scripture that is used there. And he was created perfect. So all of his music that would have been in heaven would no doubt be absolutely perfect and absolutely honoring and glorifying to who? God, because it's about God. And I believe that as he brought out last Sunday evening, that when they sang, that God was their song. And it was about him. But then iniquity was found in Satan. And Satan then begins to corrupt. Obviously, he wanted to overthrow God. He, in his desire to overthrow God, he wanted himself to be uplifted and be above God. And so it becomes about him. And then everything that God does that's good and right and holy, Satan looks to corrupt and to change and to twist and to pervert, if you will. And so we understand that there are two worlds, God and his angels, and then you have Satan and the angels that followed him in their, if you will, rebellion against God as they tried to overthrow God and they were cast down. Both are there. Satan hates God. Satan hates God's people. Adam and Eve created perfect in the Garden of Eden. You know, music is existent in nature, in waves, in wind, in birds. Can you imagine the sounds of the Garden of Eden? Where every bird singing would have been absolutely perfect. Yeah, I don't know. I have an idea that the vulture sounded a little different in the Garden of Eden. I mean, you think about that because, you know, there was nothing dying. It did not eat animals and do the cleanup of everything. You know, it was a different world altogether. But you know what you don't find in the sounds of nature? You don't find rock music. You don't find it in the waves of the sea. You don't find it in the birds. You don't find those sounds are specific to human creation. And they are something that is anti-God. Music really is used everywhere in society. Music is used in advertising. It's there. Do you think that people have not studied out the kind of music to put in their advertising? They spend billions. And they're playing and they know that music affects people. Music affects people's purchasing. Music is used at restaurants. A lot of times you go into a restaurant and the music may be off and you can politely ask, hey, would you mind turning that down? And sometimes they will. My wife and I were one time in a restaurant and they said, no, it's the weekend. We can't turn it off. We can't turn it down. We're too busy. And what was their purpose? They had this music on that was basically driving people to eat their food and get out. And they literally told us on the weekdays we could turn it down or we could change it. On the weekends, we're not allowed to. Because they know that it's doing something to the group that's in there, and they understand what it does for the purpose of their business. Grocery stores? You know, they don't try to drive you out of the grocery store. They'll keep you lingering in the grocery store. Buy something else. Music is used in the world to control mood. It's used to enhance fear. Well, you know, if you were to watch a film that has a scary kind of idea going along behind it, what kind of music do they put there? Dun-dun-dun-dun. Yeah, I mean, there's something, they're going to put some kind of a fearful tone to that. Music can be used to soothe. Music is used to get ready for war. And to hype up the American Indians they used that. And they would basically drive themselves almost into a frenzy as they would prepare to go out to battle. And it's used all over. Music is used often in sports or around or connected with sports. There's certain music that makes you want to sit down. There's certain music that makes you want to get up and move. Music is used for marching. It's used for running. It's used for sleeping. It's literally, it's everywhere. So let's look. Genesis 4:21 gives us the first mention of music in the Bible. Adam and Eve were created. They were kicked out of the garden. Some other people are born along the way. And pretty soon, not too long after creation, music comes along. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 21. It says, and his brother's name was Jubal, and he was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ. Now, okay, first of all, you got here, it's the line of Cain. You got Lamech, who was a murderer. You got Lamech, who already began to violate the one man for one woman for one man concept and principle of marriage. He took two wives. He was a murderer. And he's got a son whose name is Jubal, and Jubal handles the harp and the organ. And so music comes along as the invention. And you think about the line that it comes from there. I'm not picturing godly music coming out of that line of people. In the Bible, you have a variety of music. I'm just going to touch on this because he dealt with it a little bit last Sunday night. But Psalm 136 gives repetitive thanks. I'm not turning to all these. I'm just giving you a synopsis. So Psalm 136 gives repetitive thanks. You know, some people say a song that's repetitive is wrong. Not necessarily. because that's a psalm that's inspired Bible. We have Psalm 120 is a sorrowful song. Okay, every song does not have to be upbeat. There are sorrowful songs. We see Psalm 119. That's a long one. So nothing wrong with a long song. That one, boy, listen to that one. It'd take the whole service, not just a five-minute special, right? Psalm 117 is a short song, just two verses. Very short. Psalm 107 has verses with a chorus. Verses and a chorus. Verses and another repeating chorus throughout. And I've heard, and I bring some of these things up because there will be people that come along and say, well, and I've known groups, so a chorus is vain repetition, so the chorus shouldn't be there. Well, try telling God that because He inspired that one. So a chorus is fine. Psalm 114 has historical events attributed to God. Singing about historical things that happened, that God helped. You know, I think it's absolutely fine to sing the Star Spangled Banner, and it recognizes God in it. Not a ton, but He's there. It's a historical song. I believe God was in the founding of our country, working in the founding of our country. I think it's fine to sing about that. I think it's great to sing about that. We see Psalm 51. We see an author of a psalm who previously had been a murderer and an adulterer. Now, when he wrote the psalm, he had repented and was once again right with God. Okay, I'm not much interested in the things that he wrote while he was away from God. But he didn't, to our knowledge, there's no psalms written while he was away from God. He wrote the psalms upon coming back to God. And so, just because a person has this past history does not make their song or their music specifically wrong. And we just have to pay attention to these things and not make dogmatic, blanket statements about this is wrong because this man wrote it. Well, is the music right? Are the words right? Now, there are certain routes that we're not going down. There are certain people we aren't going to guide people toward. But mostly it's because the music's wrong. And they've written it wrong. God loves music to be sung to and about Him. If you go to Psalm 144, and we see this over and over again in the Psalms. But Psalm 144 and verse 9 says this, I will sing, what kind of song? A new song. Okay, so this is a, if you will, a contemporary song, but it is not CCM, okay? It is not a purpose. There's nothing wrong with a song being new. Every song that we sing was at one time new. And that is understood. But it says, I will sing a new song unto thee, O God, upon a psaltery, and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praise unto thee. So, are stringed instruments okay? Sure. The piano is one. The piano is also a percussion instrument, which is unique. It's a combination of both string and percussion. But here's a new song. What was, when you think about this, because we're going to see this over and over again, when you think about this new song, what was the old song? See, is there a change in the heart of a person? And I think that's definitely indicated in these psalms. Psalm 147 and verse 1, you're right there, says, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely. It is good for us to sing praise to Him. I am looking forward to Wednesday night's message. I'm not going to give you much of a preview, but I'm looking at the idea of Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a powerful, powerful thing in our life. And I was looking at the scriptures just concerning that, and it's like, there's something here we need to get. So I hope that you'll be here Wednesday for that. But it is good for us. It is needful for us to sing praises to God. And it's about Him. And it's for Him, and it's to Him. But it is good for us. And it's a pleasant thing. It is pleasant, and praise is comely. Psalm 149, verse 1 says, "Praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and His praise," where? In the congregation of the saints. See, does music belong in a church service? Absolutely. It does belong in a church service. And what is the song that is to be in the church service? It's to be praise, His praise, in the congregation of the saints. Why? Do you know that we need to be reminded again and again and again of His greatness? Do you know that it helps us, it builds us, it strengthens us in our walk with God when we remember the things that He has done? When we sing songs in the congregation of the saints and we are reminded once again of the work of Calvary? We're reminded of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We're reminded that there's going to be a roll called up yonder. We're reminded that there is a sweet by and by. We're reminded just over and over again of things that are Bible principles, Bible truths. We're reminded this morning to count our blessings, to praise Him, praise Him. It reminds us, and what does that do? It builds us. It edifies us. It strengthens us. It reminds us, it humbles us. I've really got to keep Wednesdays and this morning separate. That's the danger of preparing a message ahead of time. But we look at this, God loves music to be sung to and about Him. Now, if we're God's people, the thrust and crux of our music should be to and about Him. We should be able. Now, can we listen to, he mentioned classical music. Classical music written in a great way and a magnified way. Where does that music ultimately stem from? It's a greatness. Go look at a grand mountain. Drive to Colorado, and as you approach and you see the grandeur of all of that, go down to the ocean and look at the vastness of the ocean with the waves coming in. Go observe a powerful storm that is taking place. The song, "How Great Thou Art," was created in the midst of such a storm. It's like, he just stopped and paused and considered the greatness and glory of God Almighty. And so a music that brings about just, it's magnificent. Not from the gutter, as he brought out last week, but magnificent music. Ultimately, we look at that and we say, wow. And as a Christian, now, there are people that look at the mountains and never think about God. There are people that look at the ocean and don't have one thought about God. In fact, there are people that look at the ocean and all they're thinking about is the people on the beach. But when a Christian who loves God, who understands God, who understands God as the Creator, and they see that, they step back and God's awesome. The direction of music is unto the Lord. And this is something we would see over and over again. Psalm 68, if you're still in the Psalms, Psalm 68. If you haven't fallen asleep and dropped your Bible yet, Psalm 68 and verse 4. Sing unto God, sing praises to His name. Sing where? Unto God, sing praises to His name. Extol Him that rideth upon the heavens by His name Jah, and rejoice before Him. Well, that name is probably actually Yah, probably shortened for Yahweh. It comes out of that, but it's Hebrew. So we look at it, God rideth upon the heavens. And we're not talking about Pecos Bill riding the tornado. Okay, we're talking about God Almighty, the creator of the heavens. And if you read Daniel, God's got this mobile throne carried by cherubims, and that thing can turn, it can be going 1,000 miles an hour and all of a sudden just turn that direction and turn that direction. It doesn't have to have any curvature to it. You know, you think about God. And when we sing a song that is guided toward and about Him, and it's unto Him, the direction of the song is toward God. I want to give an illustration, just a thought. Is there any lady here that just absolutely does not like chocolate? Anybody? Okay, Mrs. Burden does not like chocolate. Okay. So, what would you think if Tony Burden goes on Mrs. Burden's birthday? He goes down and buys her a great big box of chocolates, and he says, "Hey, for your birthday, I got this for you." One of two things. Either he doesn't have knowledge of his wife, or he got them for himself because he knows he's going to get them. Okay, so when we have our music and it's directed toward God, don't you think that we should have music that actually brings honor to Him, and music the style that He has created? You can't just take some old thing that man put together that's all about man, that moves man, it's just flesh, and say, "Here, God, you take this. I'm singing this to you." God says, "I don't want that." You know, there are multiple places in the Bible where people brought offerings to God, and God says, "I don't want any part of it." Because they were bringing it to Him, quote unquote, in a religious sense, but it was for them. In Malachi, they were bringing offerings that were blemished. God says, "That's not about me. That's not the kind of offering I want. I have no desire for that." He says, "You wouldn't even feed that to your governor. Chronic waste. Here, I brought you a deer. You know, why is it so emaciated?" "Oh, it's chronic wasting." "Well, thank you, but no thank you. You know, what's wrong with this cow?" "Well, it had mad cow's disease, but here. You can have it." No, and God is looking at it, and it's like, if we want to sing unto the Lord and the direction of our music is to be toward God, don't you think we should be interested in finding out what kind of music is godly? Not just whatever we decide, but let's go to the Bible and let's study a little bit of music. And let's look at the worldly music and godly music, and let's separate the two, and let's see the difference, and let's understand the difference, and let's be willing to be taught the difference. Because so many times I think, "Well, this is just what I'm going to do." No, we need to be willing to learn. The purpose for music, so the direction of music is toward God, but the purpose of music is to glorify and praise God. Psalm 100, verse 1 and 2. Psalm 100, verse 1 and 2 says this: "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. I believe, again, this is one of the main reasons that at the beginning of our church service, we start out with music, congregational music, special music. We're coming into His presence. He says, come with singing. So we come into His presence with singing. And then we get into His Word, which is the main focus of our message. But we come into His presence with singing. Why? It's His presence. So the music that's sung in church, should it be about us or should it be about Him? It should be His music, glorifying Him. The purpose for music is to glorify and praise God. Psalm 96, 1 and 2 says, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name. Show forth what? His salvation from day to day." We have many, many, many songs that are about His salvation. The salvation that He gives. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Man, that's a great song. I love that song. Because if it's not for the blood of Jesus Christ, the punishment and wrath of God would be upon me. I was condemned already. But for the blood of Jesus, if I wasn't saved, I'd still be condemned. But when God sees the blood of Jesus Christ, He looks at me and He sees no sin. And He looks at you and He sees no sin. But if you don't have the blood. So is that a pretty good song to sing? About the salvation of the Lord? Are you washed is a question song. Are you washed in the blood? It is a song of really of an invitation, a questioning, saying, look, are you saved? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? And let me say this. When God saves a person, He saves them to change their life. When we get saved, don't you think we should be a little bit different? When we get saved, you know, several references there to the new song, right? When we get saved, should our music change? If we're a little kid and we're growing up in a Christian home and that's what we know, it's not necessarily going to change. But when a person gets saved, I don't care whether they're 5 or 7 or 9 or whether they're 30, like Brother Lane was saying. When a person gets saved, do you think their life should change? Yeah, they're a sinner on their way to hell living for self and Satan. And now they've asked the Lord Jesus to be their Lord and Savior. Do you think that should change their life? And our music should change. And I'm not going over today into the idea of the world's music and all of that. That'll be another message. But our music should be directed toward and for and about praising God. Psalm 98, verse 1 says this, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a what? New song. For He hath done marvelous things. His right hand and His holy arm hath gotten Him the victory." So here's us. We're singing a new song. We're singing it about victory that He has given. So, look, we're saved. We've been given victory. We sing the song, Victory in Jesus. And you know what? That's a great song. But really, why do we sing that song? Because He has given us victory. I'm not the drunk I used to be. I'm not the fornicator I used to be. I'm not this that I used to be. And I'm not speaking per se personally. I'm just saying you're looking at this thing. Your life has changed. He has given you victory. So let's sing victory in Jesus. Now, does it make sense to sing victory in Jesus about a changed life and Him giving us victory over sin and over the penalty of sin and over hell and all of that, and sing it with Satan's rhythm behind it, with an ungodly music behind it. Does that make sense? When the Bible says a new song, you know, are we supposed to take the world's old music and, oh, I'm going to put some Christian words to that and keep the same thing? When a person is a drunk and they realize, man, I'm a sinner, and they turn to Jesus and get saved, do you put a new label on the bottle? Say, Jesus beer? Absolutely not. Are we going to bring that alcohol in and say, this is my blood which is given for you? God forbid that such a thing would take place. You know what? We're changed. And so we have a new song. Go to Revelation. You know, the song is about the Lord. It's unto the Lord. And Revelation chapter 5, we'll finish with this chapter. Revelation chapter 5, and as we go into this, if our music is about Him, ultimately then it's not about who? It's not about us. It's not about the singer. You know, if I take this and I'm up here singing a special song, are you washed in the blood? Okay, who did that just become about? It's all about me, right? Because where's the attention? Are you thinking about the words of the song, or are you focusing, what in the world's he doing? Now here, that would be the idea, what in the world's he doing? But in other places, that's just normal. But there's still, where's the focus? And how about when I get done, and everybody goes, what did they just clap for? A performance, right? Well, we're not performing. Now, we're singing. I'm glad for the choir. And the choir sings but singing about God, to God, with the idea toward God, but to be a blessing to you. Special music is to be a blessing, to edify you. It's not about them. So if you think, oh, wow, what a great voice, you miss the point. Now, I like hearing a great voice, don't you? Maybe the ability to play the piano really well. And you look at that, wow, look, it's not a performance. It's about, hey, how about the magnificence of the music and who and what is it about? And ultimately, when it's all said and done, why don't we clap? Because it wasn't a performance for you. When you go to a concert or whatever it may be, maybe it's a classical concert and everyone's all done. When it's all done, well, they clap. Well, it wasn't about God. It was a performance for the audience. Now, the music can still be great, and there's nothing specifically wrong with going to that, and you clap when you're done because, hey, you did a great job performing. But when we miss it, it's about God. They get done with the special. It's like, what did you hear? And this is something that is very important. When you sing a special, you don't want everyone out here to just hear noise. You want them to hear the words of the song, which means when we sing, we have to open our mouth and enunciate the words. Why? Because you're wanting to edify the body of Christ. It's not about a pretty mumbling. Like, what were those words? I want to hear those words. And when the choir sings, I want to hear the words of the song because, look, those words are guiding and directing me toward Him, toward God Almighty. Revelation 5:9. says this, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." Who are they singing to? This is a song in heaven, when the saints are in heaven. Who are they singing to? Jesus, about his worthiness and about their salvation, shed by which brought about by his shed blood. That's great. You know, we're going to sing in heaven some of the same kind of songs that we sing here. And then verse 12 says, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Do you notice if you read that, there is not one bit of emphasis about the singers. He is worthy. When they got done singing the song, do you get the idea the angels are standing by clapping for their performance? No, what you've got is people bowing down to the worthy Savior in all humility. Our singing should be from a truly humble heart because he's the Savior. We're just saved sinners that were on our way to hell that are no longer on our way to hell. Glory to his name. And so the purpose and origin of music is it's about God, for God, to God. God is my song. It's his music that he would love. It's really the opposite of being about us, about performer, about ability, and all of that. Now, when we sing, I think we ought to do our best. I think we ought to practice because he is worthy. Is God worthy of a good song? Sure. But it's not about us. So I want you to think about and consider the music in your life. Today it's more about it's godly music. I'm not saying there's not a place for some classical music that doesn't specifically talk about God or for little children's songs. Mary had a little lamb. Of course, I guess you could make that one spiritual, other than to following her to school one day. But its fleece was white as snow. Well, Jesus sure was. But, you know, there are children's songs that are just little songs that are fun to sing. And they aren't ungodly. They aren't worldly. They aren't necessarily toward God. But as a born-again believer, where should the emphasis of our music be? What kind of music should be in our cars? What kind of music should be in our, if you have a place of business and you control the music there, what kind of music should be there? And you think and consider, just like God changed our life in other areas, God changes our life in music. If we were to go right now and open your car and get in the console of your car, what would be found there? God's music or the world's music? Where's the dial on your radio tuned to? In your home, what's going on? We need to consider all of that and ask the question. Look, we understand the origin and purpose of music. Does the music that we listen to fit that origin and purpose? And I pray that it does. Let's stand to our feet. Father, I ask that you would help us, Lord, to consider your word and consider music, the direction of music, the purpose of music. God, help us in our church and in our services, God, that the music would truly be honoring and glorifying to you and that it's not about us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As the piano plays, maybe you've got something to come and pray about today. Maybe you need to come and talk to the Lord about the music that you're listening to, what it is and what it does. But we also talked today about a changed life. Has your life been changed? Are you saved? Is there by chance anyone here today that would say, Pastor, if I were to die today, I'm not certain I would go to heaven. I don't know that I'm saved. Anybody? I won't call you out, but I pray for you. If you're saved and you've been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, should you live for Him? Is your life yours or is it His? We're bought with a price. I would encourage you again, if you didn't hear last Sunday night's, go on YouTube even this afternoon and watch that service. But come back tonight, and Brother Schrock will continue tonight on that. And he knows a lot more about music itself than I do. I have a Bible. I have Bible principles, and those principles stand, and they're lasting and all of that. But there's he has delved into some history, and he actually understands how notes work. And I'm not overly good at that part of it, but I believe it'll be a blessing. I believe it'll be a help to you. I believe we want also to have an understanding of why is our music different than the world's? Why is our music different than what's going on in a lot of churches today? So we want it to be about Him. We want it to be toward Him. He's God. Father, we thank You. Thank You for Your word that guides us. Father, I can't fathom what the music of heaven must be like. And Lord, to think about what the sounds of the Garden of Eden were like when there was no sin. And Father, one day, if we're saved, we'll be in that group singing, Worthy is the Lamb. So God, help us to start now and to glorify You. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Try to come back tonight if you at all can. And let's, it's the Lord's Day. Have a great afternoon.